said to them, I believe God had prompted me to be concerned about two young ladies, both who have HIV because they'd had poor blood transfusions years ago. And unfortunately, both of them have also got TB, Anna and Andrea. And I shared that with them. And I have to say, if you've never worked out God's got a sense of humor, then that was the time. The guy that preached afterwards was going, you need to be on the straight and narrow or nothing will ever happen. And Helen's translating this into my ear and I'm going, has he heard of this chap called Jesus? Because he used to do all sorts of naughty things. So we're having this stupid conversation, but actually, because I'd shared that and shared some of the experience that I'm going to share with you today in amongst the reading from Romans, it challenged them. It challenged me. Wendy and I were struggling to try and find a time this year to go to Romania. And these two girls have been on my heart for a long time. And then I heard from an email from Helen to say that Andrea was particularly poorly. She'd stopped taking her medication. And I said to Wendy, I really feel I need to go to Romania and pray with these girls. And I hadn't said anything about it beforehand to Wendy, you know, good communication in a marriage, you know. I'd been thinking about it for months, you know, and I just shared it. And Wendy actually was really positive and said, if you feel that's right and God's telling you, then you need to go. So I rang and spoke to Helen, booked the flights. I felt it was God's nudge to me. This was something that I had to do. God nudges us all, though. It's not just me. He nudges you to ring somebody, to visit somebody, to give something to somebody. He nudges us all. And I've just been nudged in this particular way. First Peter 2:9, it says, for you are a chosen people. Why does God nudge us? Because we are chosen people. God chooses us. We are his ambassadors. We are God's mouth. We are his hands. We are all sorts of things. You are, we are, his chosen people. We've been dubbed this morning as princes and princesses. But we are royal priests. You are royal priests, God's very own possession. You are God's royal priests. We forget that, don't we? We are God's own possession. That's how much we mean to him. We are God's possessions. Vasily is one of the guys that Helen and Costell and I were able to pray with. He is a young man that Helen has been caring for many years. And last year, we helped him paint some rooms for him to move out of the state system, which she had sort of helped and encouraged him through that whole time. He was the last of the young men that she had promised to help. She's still helping many people now. He's become a Christian. He goes to the local Pentecostal church in Dorohoy. We said that we were going to come and pray with him and spend some time. And he was quite open to that because, obviously, because he's a Christian, he understands it a little bit different to some of the other people I prayed with. And I gave him two scriptures. This is one. We had this some time ago. See what great love the Father has lavished on us. On us. That we should be called children of God. And that is who we are. And then I shared another reading with him, which is the one we just had. 1 Peter 2:9. For you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And I explained to Vasily, I said to him, that God loves you beyond your wildest dreams. And he's chosen you, and you are a royal priest. And as I'm doing that, to get you into the setting, we're sitting in this little flat, so I'm sitting one, and I'm putting my hand on him, and Helen translates. That's how it works, okay? So she's translating away. And we finished with me praying for him and encouraging him and blessing him. And as we finished, Costell, who'd been outside doing a couple of jobs for him, came in, oblivious of everything we were saying, and he just sat down and he turned to Vasily and he said, "Do you realize you're chosen?" And Helen's looking at him, kind of gone out. "You don't know what's just been said to him." And Vasily's looking with his eyes wide open. He realized that God was speaking to him. And after we'd spent some time sharing and encouraging and blessing him, Helen says to me, "Have you looked what colour top he's got on?" And I said, "No." "He'd got a red top on." Now, it doesn't mean anything to you, but it will to Jean. Jean gave me this word to say that I would meet, and this is the second person I'd met, with a red top on. And God had said to Jean and told me that when I met somebody with a red top, I needed to tell them that God was going to bless them and encourage them, and that they were chosen. So this kid, who is a Christian, he's about 25, 26, he's like getting whacked with all this stuff. And I just have to say, he was like going out with eyes like saucers, because he suddenly realized that God was talking to him in a different way to what he'd experienced before. God was grasping him. This is today's reading. Romans 12:11-12. NIV. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Same reading from the Message. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Another translation. Stay excited about your faith as you serve the Lord. When you hope, be joyful. When you suffer, be patient. When you pray, be faithful. Let's just have a look at those three parts at the beginning. Stay excited about your faith as you serve the Lord. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. As I booked the flights, I was full of faith that I was going to Romania, and I knew it was the right thing to do. But then I started to think about it. What on the earth was I doing? I'm guessing you might have a few doubts occasionally. I was going to Romania on my own without my faithful friend, my wife, Wendy. I was going to pray with these girls. What in the earth was I doing? A week after I'd booked the flights, our daily reading said this: where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And I was just sitting reading this daily reading together. And as I was reading, I suddenly stopped because it hit me. Because I realized there was nowhere I could go that I wouldn't be in God's presence from God's Holy Spirit. That's the truth for all of us. There's nowhere we can go that we're not in God's presence and is in His Holy Spirit. And I realized God was reminding me that I was going to be in His presence. Why does He remind me? Because He knows I'm a Wally. And I forget, and I get things wrong. Now, none of you might be Wallys, but certainly I am. And I make mistakes. But He is reminding us all that we are in His presence and that the Holy Spirit is always with us. Let's go back to those. Stay excited about your faith as you serve the Lord. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. To stay excited about our faith, we need to keep reminding ourselves about God's truths. Why? Because we're so good at lying to ourselves. Most of us have got PhD in lying to ourselves. I can't do that. I can't say that. Why would anybody listen to me? I don't feel like it today. God uses them, He doesn't use me. It's okay for them. I can't be the only person who has those thoughts. No, I don't. I know other people do. Before I went, Bob prayed for me. And he said, I've got a picture for you. And the picture is that I was standing and I'd got a tank on my back. And the tank was full of God. And when I was in a good place, I had the strength to speak and perhaps pray for folks and be brave for God. And Bob said, that's not God's way. He says, the picture you need to have, and this was for me, but actually the picture is for all of us. He says, you need to have a picture that there is no tank on our back. There's just a pipe. And the pipe comes straight from God. And God just pours out His love. There's no tap. It doesn't stop. It just keeps pouring. Be a nightmare for you, Nathan, really. How do you stop all that? And the more we realize this, we realize that God wants us to leak out His love, to be leaky people. Whatever we're feeling like. And that's a bit amazing, isn't it? Because we normally think, well, I've got to be in the right mood. I've got to be. And God says, no, that's absolute rubbish. I feel in a good mood all the time, God says, and I just keep pouring out my love. And I want you to leak it all over the place. To serve the Lord, we need to remind ourselves of God's truth, recognize the lies, and leak God's love. Picture a snowman in the sun. The one thing he can't stop doing is leaking. Under the sun, S-O-N. God wants us to be leaky Christians. God wants us to have His fervor to leak his love to those we meet. I'll have a drink of water. It might sound better. As a church, you prayed for me on the Sunday before I went, and also they prayed for me on the Wednesday night at Firestarters. What an amazing blessing and encouragement that was to me, to know your support. And that's one of the reasons we meet together as church, in whatever form, is to support and encourage each other. Let's go back to the other part of the Romans. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Another version. Be alert, servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. When we hope, be joyful. When we suffer, be patient. When we pray, be faithful. I had gone to Romania with the truth that God was with me. And the truth is, God is with you. God is with you. You are chosen. God is with you. And I've been chosen in this particular case to go and share God's love. Whatever I was feeling like, whatever confidence I did or didn't have, he said, I just need to go and share his love. The truth is, I went to pray for these particular girls and anyone Helen suggested that we meet together. So in Romans it said, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Don't quit in hard times, pray all the harder. One of the other folks that encouraged me was Nathan. He was sharing before I went and he was saying, we can miss opportunities, but God gives them again. That's good news, because we do miss opportunities and we quit and we forget, but actually God sticks with us. His pipe of love just keeps pouring out. He doesn't go, oh, we're having an off day. He doesn't run out. He just keeps pouring. And then it says in Romans, when you pray, be faithful. Even if it's only a seed the size of a mustard seed. That faith, even that size, will make a difference. So it didn't matter what I was like or what I was feeling or whether I was feeling cream crackered because I'd been on a plane for so many hours and 3.5 hour drive and arriving at some stupid time at night. And even on that journey, Helen started sharing with me and saying, these are some of the people that, if you feel it's okay, I'd like us to meet. So we talked about it and discussed when we could try and meet these people. And I went with this. And these are two readings I shared with the church. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. And from Timothy, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. These are reminders of the truth, isn't it? It's reminders that we need to pray. It's a reminder that how important prayer is. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions, not when I feel like it. God urges us to pray, to intercede for people. And I'm beginning to take opportunities. Have I done it on all occasions? No, absolutely not. However, I am beginning to learn to pray in far more situations. I never used to pray for my mum and dad when I was actually with them. I pray for them when I was at home, but I take in more opportunities in the simple things to pray with them, actually to ask them and say, can I pray for you now? And I'm beginning to realize that when I ask people, more than often, they're happy for me to pray. And that's quite an eye-opening thing for me, because I think it's a lie I've been telling myself for so many years, that people wouldn't want it. People are open to prayer. These are the two girls last year in August when we visited them. This is Anna's on that side, left, and Andrea in the middle, and Helen on the right. They don't look too bad, I have to say, at the moment. And I have to say, Anna doesn't look too bad. Andrea didn't look so cool this year, I have to say. I've got a photograph of the two girls and Helen. Sorry, this is Anna on the right-hand side, and this is another girl called Nicoletta. Let me explain. So this is Anna. She's now 26. I didn't take a photograph. To be honest, I just forgot when we were actually sitting and praying. Andrea had fortunately stopped taking her medication and was brought back to hospital about 3 or 4 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks before I went to Romania. And that was one of the nudges, the final nudge, that made me go. And Helen happened to be in the hospital at that point, and she emailed me and she said, I've never seen her so ill. And I thought about it, and I thought, well, we're expecting to go to Romania next year, but I had this thing that if I don't go now, I don't know whether they'll be there next year. Quite a number of their friends are not there now. They've died. And I just thought, this is the time to go. The other girl is a girl called Nicoletta. Now, she isn't HIV positive, but she's had TB endlessly. Unfortunately, she just sort of gets to a point of getting better, and then it comes on quite bad. She's the girl on the left, very thin in the face there. She walks with great difficulty because of her breathing. Helen invited Nicoletta to join Anna and Andrea when we came to meet them. We had a meal together, chatting about anything and anything, asking how they were getting on. And Nicoletta kept saying, I just need a bit of luck. That was her answer. And then after the meal, I said, right, I want to actually explain why I'm here. And Andrea and Anna already knew that I'd come, and I wanted to see them, and I wanted to pray for them. But Nicoletta had come along, and I explained to them that I wanted to pray for them because God wanted to bless them, and he just wanted to pour out his love upon them. And were they happy that I did that? So we're sitting actually in, and Romania is just such a contrast. We're actually sitting in this mall, and it could have been anywhere, like Sheffield, one of these big shopping centres. Slightly bizarre when it's like people living in some not very nice places down the road, but we're sitting in this big shopping centre within this cafe, and we're having a meal, and we finish that, and they're okay, and I'm going to pray with them actually in the middle of the shopping centre in this cafe. So we talked about this, and Anna said she wanted all of them to be prayed individually. Well, I'm going, yeah, that's just what I want to do. So they all came and sat next to me in turn, and I put my hand on the back, and I prayed. And then Helen's translating as we go through. So I prayed for Anna, and then I prayed for Andrea, and I just prayed God's love and peace on them, just to pour out their peace. And encouraging them to know how much God loved them and that he had a purpose for them. And then I started praying for Nicoletta. Remember, we'd been sitting there 3/4 of an hour, chatting and eating and praying. So I put my hand on her back and I'm starting to pray. And I begun to thank God for her. And Helen's busy translating. And suddenly I stop. Why? Because God had nudged me. Basically because I'm a bit of a twit sometimes. Why? Because I'd missed the obvious. Nicoletta's sitting there with a red top on. And it just hit me, and God's going, Dave, I've told you about you're going to meet somebody with a red top. So I was a bit overcome by this, and Helen's looking at me going, you all right? And I'm going, yeah, just need a moment. And I remembered the word that you'd spoken to me. And I explained to this girl that I was going to meet somebody with a red top. And Helen translated, and she's looking at me, gone out. A, because she hasn't particularly met me before, and then this man's praying for me, and now he's telling me God's actually chosen her and blessed her and picked her out. She was totally shocked, I have to say. And we just prayed for her and we played blessing on her. It was no chance that she was there. God had sorted it. He'd picked her out. We met on the Monday, all three of them again, and this time, and that's why the photographs are here, and that's why she hasn't got the red top, because it's a different day. Okay. And on the Monday I said, right, I want to pray for you again, but I'm going to pray God's blessing on you this time, but I'm going to pray God's healing power on you. And as we're talking and chatting, Nicoletta said she'd actually spent the Friday night with Anna, and apart from watching Romania's Got Talent, they'd spent most of the evening chatting about what God had done for them in that afternoon, just that he'd picked them out and he was encouraging and blessing them. So I prayed for God's almighty healing power over them. And I know that God is still working with them. Has he healed them? I don't know. But that's God's thing, not mine. I'll leave it to God. I've done my bit, if you see what I mean. And Wendy shared this scripture with me. Isaiah 55:11. So when my word, God's word, that goes out of my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Another truth, it's a good one to remember. When we share God's love and peace, God does his work. His words never return empty-handed. This is another version. This is from the New Living Translation. It is the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper wherever I send it. As God speaks, it produces fruit. God has chosen us. We are God's chosen. We are God's own possession. As we share, as we leak God's love and peace, it will never return having achieved what God wants to do. Now, I have to say, I was pretty bowled over by that. Because there are some times I'm thinking, well, I would have really liked them just to be healed there and then. But I'm thinking, actually, whatever God's going to do, I've done and spoken out his word. And he's doing his stuff. It's not like the man, if you remember, I don't know if you met him somewhere else, but there was a guy in Lichfield who used to preach some years ago. And he was really good at preaching hell. And I have to say, it was made me shiver as I go past him. And if you didn't listen to him, you were going to hell. There was no love, there was no peace, there was just... I did try to have a word with him once, not very successfully, I have to say. But that isn't going to change anything, is it? God's love and peace will accomplish what God wants to do. Because God's love and peace changes things. It's a no-brainer, really. When we share God's love and peace, God does his stuff. And I tell you what, there's more of him than us. It's like having a Rottweiler barking behind us and you're saying, no, and God's going to do his stuff. He does far more than we ever have to do. Last story. This is a young couple called Inuts and Yunola. And they've been married 4 years. Yunola lived with, I'm not pronouncing that right, Yunella, thank you. Yunella lived with Anna and Andrea, and she grew up with them because she's HIV positive. So actually, quite a lot of these folks know each other. As I say, they've been married 4 years. Unfortunately, Yunella has lost 3 babies. One miscarriage, and 2 stillborns. The last one was born 2 weeks before I went, as a stillborn baby. When Helen shared the story with me on that long drive from the airport, my heart went out to them. And I said, we've got to meet them, if we can. So she rang them on the Friday and said, would you come over to Dorohoy? It's a 2-hour bus ride for them. Yeah, they were quite happy. They'd come over and meet this weird bloke. Actually, she'd met me before, Yunella had. Never met the young man. So we ate and chatted. And then I explained that I wanted to share God's love with them. And I said, I know God's going to bless you. And I'm going to share 2 stories with you. And the first story is of my daughter, Naomi, and her husband. And about 4 years ago, they'd desperately been trying for a baby and not been successful at all. And we were on holiday, and we decided to pray for them. And God gave me a picture. And the picture was of them two standing there, holding a baby. And it was so real. I can't. Now, Naomi became pregnant, but unfortunately she miscarried. But God is true to his word. They now have 2 daughters. Prayer changes things. The second story I shared with this young couple is of my niece. She has a son called Matty. He's about 3. And last year they were trying for another baby and she miscarried. And I have to say, since then she's been struggling quite badly with the sadness of that. And we had a family meal in January. And I was just chatting to her. We were around a table eating in a restaurant. And I was just kneeling next to her and just chatting. And I said, is it okay if I pray with you? Because I feel God wants to bless you. I said, nobody else will know. Nobody else will hear. I'm not going to embarrass you, do anything silly. I'm just going to sit here as I am now and pray for you. And she said that would be fine. The Tuesday before I went to Romania, I got a text. And the text was from my niece to say she was now pregnant and she'd gone for an early scan The baby's fine. The heartbeat was there. God had blessed her. I said to this young couple, God wants to bless you, not only with his almighty love and peace, but he wants to bless you in having a baby. So we're sitting there and I'm holding, and most people are actually, again, quite amazingly, happy for me to hold their hands or whatever. So I'm holding their hands and I get a picture for them. And you can guess what the picture is. And afterwards, we were walking away and we did a couple of other jobs. And you could tell both of them were lighter in spirit and heart. And Eunella actually said, remember, this is only 2 weeks prior to the last baby. She said, I feel so much lighter. God was doing his stuff. God was blessing them. Prayer changes things. Why? Because God is at work. He never gives up. He never gives up. It's absolutely brilliant. It's definitely thank you, God. Wendy and I were up at Marcus Drive a couple of Fridays. It was the Friday after I'd got back from Romania. And we stopped to have a coffee. And I realised that suddenly there's a building there I'd never noticed before. There's the military hut that Dave spent some time there, and there's like a museum. But there's a building. I've never seen it before. It's an educational building. And for one reason or another, I'm looking for somewhere like that to hire. So I saw this ranger guy, so I went over to him and said, any chances, you know, are you allowed to hire that building? And he said, oh, yes, yeah. You'll find some information in the shop in just inside. Went inside, shut. So I come out again and I said, oh, it's shut. Is there just some number or something? And he says, oh, yeah, yeah, you just need to ring this guy. It's a guy called Steve Archer. I can't remember the number or the website or anything like that. He says, I'm very sorry. It's just I've only come back to work today. So I said, oh, right, yeah, okay. My mum died. So we sat and just listened to him for a few moments. And then I said to him, thanks so much for your help. And I said, this might sound a bit stupid, but I'm going to pray for you. And he says, that would be good. I said, what's your name? I'm going to pray for you and your family. And as I was leaving him, I said, the reason why I'm doing it is because I believe prayer changes things. And prayer does change things all the time. This is a truth. You go before me and follow me. You place your hands of blessing on my head. This is the truth we need to remember. God goes before us. He follows behind us. He's placed his hand on each of us. As chosen people, royal priests, as we pray God's blessing, his love, peace and healing power on those around us, those we meet, those that God nudges us about. Be God's pipe of love, God's leaky people. Be great, isn't it, if everybody noticed us as being leaky people. We as a church are going through some huge changes. And changes can be hard, they can be exciting, they can be sad. But as in one of those readings before, in the tough times, we need to pray harder. But always remember, God wants to bless us in whatever we do, wherever we are. And he wants to bless those people we come into contact with. We won't do it all the time. We'll forget. We'll miss the opportunities. But hey, he's a great God. And he doesn't dump us. He never leaves us. We are chosen. Just share God's peace and love and healing power with those around you. Because as we pray, it changes things.